Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I'm very excited to introduce you to three fabulous ladies who were involved in the creation of a film that is going to be premiering this month in Philadelphia, A Perfect Ending. So I would like to introduce you to Nicole Kahn, who is the writer and director of the film, Barbara Niven, who is the lead actress, and to Marina Rice Bader, who is a co-producer and a significant part of this story development. So welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Thank you.
I'll give you that little correction. I'm the executive producer.
Executive producer. Yeah, you, fair enough. Right on. Everybody?
Right on.
Yes.
Hello. How are you? So happy to be here with you.
I'm excited to talk about this because I just watched the screener the other day and I have like lots of questions. I want to start like giving people a basic introduction. How would you describe A Perfect Ending to somebody who's never heard of it before and telling them why it is a unique film?
I think basically this film is about woman, essentially who women are and what happens to them when they've led sort of lives without purpose. Rebecca, our main character, has got a calendar jam-packed with things to do that have no meaning her entire life. And at some point she realizes she wants to experience passion. And when she does experience passion, it shows the absolute effect that it has on her and how it empowers her to become the woman she was always meant to be. In just a nutshell, but I will allow Barbara to also explain who her character is, because I think she does it so well.
Well, my character, Rebecca, has been living, she's a wealthy, middle-aged woman in a loveless marriage. My husband is the fantastic actor John Hurd, and he's astonishing in this movie. But it's about somebody who has never lived her purpose, never gone to her passion. So my character, Rebecca, is like so many women. And when I created her character, I just really used patterns from the women that I've known in my life and that I've seen. People in most society puts the perfection syndrome on to women, and it's so hard to attain. And by trying to be perfect, we let out all the beautiful colors and joy and celebration of actually aging and life. And so Nicole Kahn wrote this amazing script, and I had to do it when I got it because I had to confront me, Barbara's fears, and transform just as Rebecca in the movie does. When I watch it back, I see a woman who's just her hair is tied back in a bun. She wears pearls. She has a terrible grimace on her mouth because she's so tight and judgmental. And I just think she's just ugly. I look at it and I see somebody who just is not living what she is capable of doing. And she has a wake-up call in her life. And in doing so, she discovers passion. She discovers love. She discovers her purpose, and she takes action and makes all those things come together in a perfect ending. And she becomes beautiful and radiant at the end. And Nicole Kahn did such a beautiful job with this movie because we just had another screening last night. And what I'm astonished by is I know she's got an incredible lesbian audience, but this was my hometown, and all of my straight friends, men and women, were there, and people in the industry, and they came up to me afterwards, and they were weeping that this touches such a chord in each one of us, men and women, that we need to step up and live what we are meant to be, and quit putting ourselves in a box, and quit putting each other in a box, quit judging. And I think that's the best thing I took away from being this character and doing this movie, is that Rebecca, playing her, made me a little braver to start inserting that into my own life.
Fantastic.
And it's true. I mean, I've known Barbara for 25 years, and this role actually has changed her. But the film changed everybody. I mean, I know it always sounds corny when you say this is the best crew I ever worked with, but this was a crew and cast of people that really, really came together in their lives at a time when this film altered them in a significant way. And that's one of the other wonderful things about the entire project. And I think that's one of the things that reads in the film. Barbara's transformation in the film is remarkable anyway, for just as a filmmaking arc. But it's also affected her personally, which is awesome for me to see because I've known her for 25 years and she has, you know, she has to always try to be perfect because she's been in this industry for so long. And the industry expects us to look like the Barbie dolls that Morgan Fairchild, maneuvers her clients with. And that was supposed to be, you know, a metaphor about what the media expects us to look like, which is those Barbie dolls who are completely perfect in plastic. And that's not who we are.
This one of the things that both my producer and I were struck by when we were watching the film is very often we talk on the show about the Bechdel test, which is assessing how female characters are portrayed in films. And the Bechdel test asks three questions. Are there two or more women in the film and do they have names? The question.
That's great. Yeah. I liked you already.
Yeah. The second question is, do they ever talk to each other? And the third question is, do they talk about anything other than a man? Or sometimes there's an additional question, do they ever talk about anything other than, like, babies?
Oh, boy, you just define Hollywood, honey.
Yeah, and this film, like, just blew that out of the water. I mean, like, there's not even... there are a limited number of scenes in this film that don't, you know, have that going on. And for the vast majority of films, you're lucky. Like a film will pass the Bechdel test because there was one exchange during one scene. But this one is full of full female characters who are active agents in their life, which, you know, is a pretty significant thing in and of itself. So
yes, because in Hollywood, seriously, most of the scripts I get, you're kind of an addendum. You're either you're on the arm of some man who is the one who's the action taker, the protagonist in a movie. And you just kind of, you're absolutely right. Sometimes you don't even have a name except his wife.
Yeah. So in making this film, does that, because it has so much to do with women, does that make it a film specifically for some audiences, or is this something that does this have an intended audience? I should really ask.
It's really interesting that you should ask that because the screening we had was in LA. The audience had a lot of straight people in it because Barbara did have a lot of people from her world of the industry, and we had a lot of straight people from friends that I have because we wanted to pack the house with as many, you know, straight folks as we could because we wanted to get that question answered. One of the questions I asked in the Q&A was, what would you guys say this film was, because this is theoretically, you know, in the LGBT festivals, and everybody said art house film. And that made us feel so good. And then we got that reaffirmed over and over and over by the comments we got after. One of Barbara's friends, I won't mention her name, came up to me and she said, do you know how many women, you know, have the issues that Rebecca has? And I said, yes, I know. And it's never spoken about. And so it was a wonderful affirmation for us that this is a film that would do wonderfully in the straight community. And that's what we're hoping to do is, you know, service the LGBT community, really go beyond that. I think personally it's a great boomer date night movie, as well as a serious adult love story, which is very rare because it's so easy to do romantic comedy and very difficult to actually do a serious adult.
But there's also comedy in here too, which I think the best movies, the best scenes of life combine that juxtaposition, the exact opposite. One moment you're laughing and the next moment you're crying, because that's how life is. It collides against each other. And Nicole has created this film that so beautifully does that. It takes you on such a journey.
So, and I have to, of course, talk about the sex scenes, because that is not only kind of my business, that's what we talk about, but also they are not shy and they are not infrequent. So,
oh my God, I know. It's me up there last night on the HD on a 40-foot screen with stretch marks, the whole bit. But Nicole and I talked about that, about being authentic, because we never see real women We always see sex scenes that have that are directed from a man's sensibility, which is so different. And so Nicole, to get this chance to be able to work with her and have her be safe and to feel safe, and she, it's the scariest thing I have ever done in my career and probably my life, leaping off and exposing myself inside and out like this. But Nicole made it safe, and I think that because it was my biggest fear, it's also turned out to be my biggest gold in the best work I've ever done. And thank you, Nicole. I'm so grateful.
Thank you, baby. Well, the thing is, one of the things that we talked about in the very beginning, Marina and I both had said, you know, there's going to be no clauses in the nudity portion of your contract, because we wanted to be able to not be hindered by anything in clauses. And people have the strangest clauses, like they have one mark on their knee that they can't have filmed, or, you know, something like along those lines. We didn't want any of that because we wanted the flow to be there. And the great thing about Jessica and Barbara is, and especially Barbara, is a very, very seasoned actress. She's a consummate pro. And this was Jessica's first film, was how generous Barbara is in giving. And so that Jessica could experience and help her as well with this
so
love
much.
Scene, which was called, you know, we called it the arena bed. And Tal Lazar, the cinematographer, I said, you know, we have to do something really special because this first love scene is, you know, should be some sort of epic moment. And we came up with this arena bed, and he designed the scene so that the world falls away and you see these two women, and they, as it is when people make love and really connect, the world does fall away. And that's what we did with the scene, and we treated it in post-production, things along those lines. But the performance in that scene is Barbara's, like, to me, it's the most extraordinary work, because she exposes herself in the way that she does and is not afraid to really, really go there and show, you know, making love can be a hot mess, and it can also be, you know, a sacred rite of passage, which is what happens for her in the film. And the way she carries it is, to me, one of the most iconic love scenes ever that I've ever seen. And I'm a cinephile, so I really have never seen anything quite like it. And that's due in large part to Barbara being that honest and raw and exposed.
So Barbara, like when you're shooting this these series of scenes, it's not just a regular old love scene. It is unique for your character in that she has never experienced anything like it in a variety of ways. So
yes. Well, she's never had an orgasm, let's just say it.
Yeah. And yes. I was curious, like, so how do you capture somebody's first time, and do you have to, like, do you tap back into your own first time, or where, how do you?
No, I actually tapped into something that, and it's not, I think as Jessica's character Paris says so beautifully in the movie, an orgasm is a physical phenomenon, but an actual passion is something that goes beyond it.
Marina, who's the executive producer, mm-hmm. this actually was a story idea that came to her and originated with her. And I actually wanted to ask Marina, what made you think of that, this story idea?
Well, I was trying to come up with sort of a hook concept that we could make for not much money, because we had just made Elena Undone, and so the bank accounts were running a little low. And I was thinking, what could we do that's just really, you know, intimate and we can make small? That is, of course, until Nicole Kahn took over, and then it became something much bigger. But it was, I thought, what's an interesting story? And a woman in her 50s never having an orgasm just seemed interesting to me. And never being able to feel that, you know, amazing out-of-body experience that, you know, once you get it and you know what it is, you know, then your life, I would think, would change.
Marina comes up with, you know, I always joke, she comes up with a story idea every day over breakfast. And I'm like, I can't hear any more things, because we were working on Elena Undone. But she had, this concept was so fascinating to me. How would a woman who had never had an orgasm in her life experience that? And what would it do to her? And how would it change her life? Because Marina and I personally got together 4.5 years ago, and she had never been in love with anybody. And the person she has become through the last 4 years has just been mind-blowing. Having experienced passion, she is now, you know, this dynamic, you know, studio exec who is doing films back to back and really bringing it. And so that was one of the pieces that I really wanted to have Rebecca do something with, the empowerment of experiencing passion for the first time, which she does remarkably.
It sounds like it had a great deal of personal meaning to everybody. One question I want to switch over to, a significant part, and this is a big change of topic, but significant part of the storyline has to do with sex work. One of the other very major characters is a call girl, and it's approached in a very matter-of-fact way. There's not a whole lot of judgment about it. There is one scene where there's a, you should get out of this. There's a little bit of like, you know, you should try other things, but it's not ever shamed or judged. And I thought that was a really interesting choice. How did everybody feel about that?
I personally feel like the universe still puts women into the horror housewife category. You're either one or the other. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to make that statement in the scene between Rebecca and the Sylvie character, who is, you know, theoretically the hooker with a heart of gold, but she doesn't play it as a caricature. She plays it as a real woman who's proud of her profession, you know, gets to do a lot of things, and she calls her own shots. And one of the great scenes for me is the scenes between Rebecca and Sylvie, because we get to have that expressed. So you have all this money and you live in a big house, but who has more power in their life? You know, I do. I can say fuck you to anybody, and you have to answer to your husband and your kids and the universe. And so it was one of those wonderful ways to express that.
Nicole used the film to really illustrate it so well, this whole thing with women judging each other and being in competition, especially with the Sylvie character of the whore versus the housewife. And in this scene, she did it so beautifully. She even uses a tango music, so that we're skirting around each other, one getting the upper hand, the other getting the upper hand. And then in the end, we find out basically that we are just women, and women essentially are, we have both of us. We both have whore and housewives in us, and nobody quite knows what the whole role model and what women are supposed to be anymore. Think why this movie affected me so much, and I'm getting feedback from that too, is, and why I wanted to do it was, seriously, I'm a grandmother now. I'm close to being 60 years old, and I am so confused about what my role and function and physicality is supposed to look like anymore, because we don't look like our mothers, and we don't have role models. We have the Playboy bunnies. We have the housewives of Beverly Hills. We have reality TV of the, you know, Snooki, but we don't have real women, and we don't give each other permission to actually be real and just show up. And it was important for me to really be authentic in this role. Nicole and I talked about it, even to the physicality of, and it was horrifying, but showing my stretch marks as a mother, I've never seen another actress do that on screen. And I thought, okay, it's time we do it. It's time to put a toe in the sand and break the glass. And I just wish it wasn't me that was being first, because it's hard to watch, but it was very, very liberating. And the best feedback that we've been getting about this movie is that women are coming away thinking, you know what? I can identify with her. I feel those same insecurities about perfection, and I don't want that to rule my life anymore. I want to start being authentic in my life. And I think women are going to judge ourselves and each other a lot less harshly and support each other. And that's what I hope people get out of this movie.
I think the other interesting facet of realistic depiction is, other than I think maybe one time, there's not a lot of discussion about sexual orientation, as though you are straight, you are gay, you are, you have to pick a particular label. There's
right.
There's like one scene where somebody asks if somebody's a lesbian, but other than that, there are characters who are clearly in a same-sex couple, but it's not like really the focal point of conversation. They just are allowed to exist. There's a fluidity to the character's sexuality. They don't have to hem and haw about, this isn't how I identify, this isn't what I normally do. And I think that it speaks volumes about just being sort of normalizing the idea that people's sexuality is quite fluid in real life. Did that feel like the reality to you?
Absolutely. Nicole, go ahead, because you wrote it so beautifully.
I feel very strongly about that, and I'm so glad that you asked that question, because for me, you know, I'm sort of known in the LGBT community for the movies that I've made, but for this is to me a movie for everybody, and not just women. I mean, I think it's a great women's movie, and I think Barbara is like an amazing, courageous role model for women everywhere. And we had so many people come up to us that just said, I went through the whole thing because, you know, that's sort of been my journey and I can't find the passion in my life that I need. And, you know, it's showed me that it crosses those labels that, you know, in the industry, in the film industry especially, you have to be categorized. They don't know what to do with you if you have something that's got a mix of things. And that's why I asked the audience, do you feel like this is an LGBT film or an art house film? And they all, you know, unanimously said art house. I believe we're beyond the labels. And the fact of the matter is, both of the lead characters are straight. They vortex at a time in their life when they need each other to heal. And in my mind, you know, they remain straight. It's about the connection to that other person in whatever form they happen to be in, whether it's male or female. And I think a lot of men can relate to this film as well, because we put the same expectations on them that are unrealistically put on us. And so the sexual fluidity is that, you know, we are at that place where we don't have to categorize ourselves as gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, you know, all of those things. It's just we're two people that met and connected and our souls healed each other. It's very funny, though. I really did respond to what you talked about with the 50 Shades of Grey. It's you know, one of those things where, you know, it's product versus the real thing. It's, you know, like packaged and it's hyped and it's, you know, the whole viral thing makes this piece. But it shows how hungry people are for discussing female sexuality. Because I agreed with everything that you had said about it in your previous show. And it's one of those, things that where I think the timing of this film is perfect to break out of those labels and explore that sexual fluidity that we're talking about in a way that's, you know, crafted very, beautifully and acted with incredible, you know, talent. I mean, the two girls are just awesome in their chemistry. Is very palpable, and when you're in a theater full of people, you can just feel them feeling the experience, and that's why last night was so successful for us, and we're really thrilled about where the film can go now. May I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
How did the film affect you?
It was interesting because I did not know how to categorize it and like how to, because so much of it is like the way that it's first introduced. You know, I knew that it was a lesbian film, and I knew that there was like a storyline about a romance, and I started out being like, I didn't like the character. I didn't like Rebecca. And I was what? Like, at first I was just like, why is she like so entitled? Like I kept being like, she just made two different people show up, you know, to do their job and didn't pay them. like I don't particularly like this person.
Exactly.
And I was very curious. I was actually going to ask y'all if you liked her. And then it became, you know, apparent right away that it was like, no, at first, no, you're not supposed to.
And you know, where I fall in love with her every time, and I've edited this film like five kajillion times. When she sits on that bed and you see her first, you know, like trying it out sort of thing. And she does this wonderful business, and Barbara brings a lot of wonderful business to the character anyway. You're not supposed to like her. She is entitled. She is a very wealthy, you know, uptight suburban housewife. And that's why I love who she becomes and how, like what she was talking about in the beginning of the interview, who she becomes once she's actually empowered with passion and lets her real self come out. She plays the role of this Mason's wife so perfectly that you don't like her. And then you fall in love with her and you go on the journey with, how is this woman going to go about, you know, experiencing an orgasm, as well as, you know, what is that going to do? How is that going to affect her life? And I think at the end, you're so madly in love with her. You know, it's a wonderful, like I said, for film, it's a wonderful character arc, but it's also just a wonderful expression of what happens when women feel empowered and can feel passion. And I think men too. I had actually asked everybody to tell me what the most extraordinary love scene that they had ever seen was, because I wanted to see anything and everything that anybody else had done. And I've never actually seen anything quite like the arena bed love scene. And I hope it goes down as, you know, an iconic scene, because it is so truthful. And in some ways, it's almost painfully truthful. A couple of the people came up and said, you know, the reason they said they almost couldn't watch because it was so intimate and raw, but in the way that is like you feel so exposed when you are in that position yourself, and that the truthfulness of it was what really got them. And that's one of the things I was just going to ask you. Have you ever seen a love scene like that?
Well, I'm sort of a weird person to ask, because when you go get a doctorate in human sexuality, you watch a lot of stuff.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, because you have more experience than the interviews that we've done, you know, are people who don't have your background.
Yeah,
and I was just, you know, wondering from your standpoint, you know, if you've seen anything like this.
For a standard film, it's definitely much, all of the things that you said, much more raw, and I really like that it wasn't one of those awkward, like, clearly they started making out, jump mm-hmm. cut, they're in bed. Yeah. Like, they're right. Done.
Right.
I liked that it also wasn't, like, unnecessarily expletive. There wasn't just, like, it wasn't, you know, it didn't have, like, the cheesiness necessarily of a we know what you really came here to see.
Right, exactly.
So in that way, you definitely accomplished what you were aiming for. Yeah.
Thank you, because that's one of the things. We worked very, very hard on that. And like I said, I really attribute that scene to Barbara's, her willingness to really, really go there. And I love the end where she has sort of the laugh cry. That final release is one of my favorite sequences in the film. And each of the love scenes are very different, because they're expressing different parts of their, talking about sexual fluidity. What is going on for that particular character.
So if people are now all super stoked to see A Perfect Ending, how can they come across it?
We are having our East Coast premiere at Philly Q Fest on the 21st, Saturday the 21st. And we will also be playing a second showing, I believe the following day, Sunday in the middle of the day. And then we're also playing Atlantic City on Monday the 23rd.
Beautiful. And people can also find out more information on Facebook.
Yes, and we're having an after party at Sisters in honor of A Perfect Ending after the screening on July 21st at the, I'm assuming it's a bar, maybe you can tell.
Sisters is actually the only lesbian nightclub in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
One of the very few on the East Coast. Most of them are just floating parties, but that is a 365 days a year lesbian club in Philadelphia. So
good for them, because there's so few lesbian bars that are left. They've all been integrated into, like, you know, Wednesday night is lesbian night. And so I'm thrilled that it's a bar that's actually thriving and being able to survive in this economy, especially.
Yeah. So everybody should come out. And so thank you very much, Nicole. I want to thank all three of our guests. We had Marina Rice-Bader, who was the executive producer. We had Barbara Niven, the lead actress. And, of course, Nicole Kahn, who was the writer and director. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Lovely interview.
All right, everybody, thank you very much for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmere@gmail.com. And thank you.